Country Pop FM.
The bell is rung.
Bob Almanac. It was a tragic day yesterday. Tragic, surprising. How about a moment of silence for yesterday's Bob Almanac?
Please.
Thank you.
Thank you. I didn't remove my hat. Can I do it again?
No, I didn't either.
Okay.
It wasn't that kind of moment of silence. It wasn't religious.
Okay.
It was not a religious. It was a sarcastic moment of silence.
Okay.
And now here's a moment of silence for Jeff and Big Lake because the music won't be starting at 9. Thank you. All right.
We started it at about 6 minutes.
It was really early yesterday. Are gone but not forgotten. We have an almanac salute.
We do.
Here today. And it's Ogre.
Ogre! 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 Ogre!
Where are they?
Ogre!
I think they're talking about us.
Ogre!
No way.
The beer-swilling, big, husky fella who unfortunately did lose the belching contest to Booger at Adams College. Donald Gibb, the actor who played Ogre in Revenge of the Nerds, has passed away at the age of 71. According to TMZ, he was in Bloodsport. He was in an episode of Seinfeld. Any of you Seinfeld fans, when they go to the New Jersey Devils game and they're way up in the nosebleed seats, and Putty and Jerry are up there, and they got devils on their chest. They took their shirt off and then painted the word devils. One has a D, one has... You've seen that before,
yeah.
Right? Where they have an E. And he's one of those guys, and he's been some other things. Bloodsport, that was Jean-Claude Van Damme, was
right,
it not?
Right, I was going to say Bloodsport. Wow.
Exactly. And he's not a member of the Gibb Brothers. He's not from the Isle of Man and lived in Australia, then came here and set the disco world on fire.
Okay.
He's a different Gibb. It's Donald Gibb, 71, from Revenge of the Nerds. Now gone but not forgotten. And the audio worked perfectly there. I like our chances getting through it today, Neil.
This is going to be better. Yeah, this should be good.
1607 this date. Captains John Smith and Christopher Newport. You heard about Johnstown, Virginia, and the first permanent English settlement in what would eventually become the United States. Well, that happened on this date. And I don't know, were they being taxed without representation, taxation without representation?
Already?
Yet?
Yeah.
I would imagine that King What's-His-Face probably got her going pretty.
So.
King George, was it?
Yeah.
1607, 1637, our patent of the day, or actually our invention of the day, because it wasn't patented. It was Cardinal Richelieu from France. I believe that he delivered a devastating elbow to one of his minions, and then he came up with the table knife, because he is French, after all, just like Wemby.
Right.
They like to division.
Swing an elbow.
Like swing an elbow. So the table knife created by a cardinal in France, a state. You know, before that, they would just use swords. It's very impractical.
It's not great for buttering.
If you're buttering or cutting bread, or if you ever tried to cut a steak with a sword. 1637. Our patent of the day. We have a patent of the day. The printing press in the U.S. That changed things.
Yeah, it did.
The printed word, the printing press. Before, it was very difficult. I don't know if at any point Benjamin Franklin was involved in it, but it seemed like he had something to do with printing.
Mm-hmm.
1821. It was Samuel Rust who patented the first printing press. It's possible that the press was around prior to that, but it didn't get patented until 1821. And then this date in 81, let's go to St. Peter's Square. Somehow somebody got a gun in there.
10,000 or more had come to receive the blessing of Pope John Paul. Instead, amongst the cheering and the peal of bells announcing the arrival of the Pope, they heard gunfire and saw the Pope turn pale and collapse, bloody, into the arms of his aides.
Pope John Paul II shot and wounded this date, St. Peter's Square. Turkish assailant Mehmet Ali Aqua. 1981 is when that happened. And then, of course, then he got his own car with a protective bubble. Basically, it was patterned after an AMC Pacer.
Yeah.
They patterned it. They planned it. they put it together. Mm. It might even had some parts from an old AMC Pacer. I think they had stopped making Pacers in 81. But maybe they hadn't. AMC. But yeah. Whatever they had left over there at the plant, they whipped up the Popemobile.
Put the bulletproof bubble on it.
Yeah, back in 1981. Birthdays now, Neil. You're going to like this one.
Okay.
That's all it says. You know, with Festus up in Hayes, maybe I'd better go.
I guess maybe you had. Wait a minute, though. You're all dressed up there. What are you going to do about the date with Kate Ryan? What about that?
How do you know about Kate Ryan?
Newly, don't you know that I know everything that's going on in this town? But don't worry. I'll fix it all up with Kate for her. I'll just tell her. Well, I'll tell her the truth, that you rode up to Buffalo Crossing. Isn't that where that cute little Tillman girl lives? What's her name, Abby? That's what I'll tell her.
Now, Doc, you wouldn't do that.
Well, maybe I ought to. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Good heavens. Deceiving two pretty little girls like that, that's terrible. I never did anything like that in my whole life.
Well, that's not what I heard. But I trust you.
Was Newley not the most eligible bachelor
in Dodge?
In Dodge.
Yeah.
Dodge,
I mean,
City.
With all due respects to Festus.
Yeah.
Newley, you know, Festus got hit with the ugly stick a little bit.
I would think Newley'd have the pick of the litter.
Yeah, he kind of did.
And there he is, Buck Taylor.
One of the greats.
He is. He's still with us, too.
Yeah, yeah. That's still one of my proudest moments.
We just talked about that. Yeah. How did you wrangle him? He was there like he had a booth for his art?
For his paintings. Yeah, he's a wonderful Western painter.
And did you just stumble on him like in the grandstand?
You know, our buddy Matt from the State Fair.
And he knows your love of Gunsmoke.
Yes.
Who doesn't really at this point?
You're right.
Thanks to me.
And you're right. And anyway, so he introduced me to Buck, and then Buck was kind enough to come over and sit at our booth and talk for 15 minutes. We swapped Gunsmoke stories. It was truly one of my best days.
I bet. Buck Taylor, that would have been like me meeting, Victor French.
Right. Well, yeah.
Buck Taylor. So he's 88 today.
He's getting up
88
there
for Buck Taylor. He was Newley. And just think of it, without me, none of that would have happened. This whole Gunsmoke thing, I only watch Gunsmoke, Gunsmoke this, Gunsmoke that. If I wouldn't have taken that and run with that, that probably wouldn't have happened because people wouldn't know. You wouldn't have the T-shirts. You wouldn't have the plaques. You wouldn't have James Arness up here on the wall.
Yeah. I don't know how many shirts I've gotten from listeners with Gunsmoke themes to them. It's been several.
I don't want to take any credit. I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah. We give you some credit.
Yeah, nah.
I hate to, though.
How about this one?
What about you?
I'd really love not to go to prison. I can't even begin to describe how much I would love not to go to prison.
Someone's got to go to prison, man.
Yeah, and somebody did. It was what's his name from Game of Thrones.
I got your guy.
Yeah, so that's Harvey Keitel. He has played a lot of tough guys and a good actor. I've always been a big fan of Harvey Keitel. And he is 87 today. You know, he didn't have it in Taxi Driver, that scene where he's in there. And he's got the tank top on. Guy had some guns.
Yeah.
Guy had some guns. He was two tickets to the gun show there on the front stoop. That was from Taxi Driver. The movie, of course, the clip there was from National Treasure.
Yes.
87. And I was just kind of, I stumbled upon this. I didn't even realize that was a Disney Plus. They actually had a National Treasure streaming show. They did a program that they streamed. It was a National Treasure, kind of a spinoff, and Harvey Keitel made a couple of cameos in that.
Really?
Yeah. I hadn't even heard about that. Yeah.
Some
it got mixed
favorites.
Reviews, according to what Wikipedia said.
Okay.
You can't always trust them.
No, I love the movies.
Harvey Keitel is 87. Steveland Judkins Hardaway. We know him better as Stevie Wonder.
What a talent.
One of the great blind musicians and singers. And there are several of them, really.
Yes, there are.
Stevie Wonder. Stevie Wonder today, 76. Dennis Rodman. Was there anybody more colorful in the world of sports than Dennis Rodman?
Hard to think of another one.
65 today. What was his nickname, Neil?
The Worm.
Yeah, he was. He's a rebounding specialist.
Yes.
65 today. This guy. When he was was he was not Hootie. There was no Hootie.
No.
Hootie and the Blue the Hootie was everybody. The Blowfish was everybody. Darius Rucker now made the transition to country.
Done well in both genres.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. It was genius because he does a concert and he's appealing to those rock people that he had early, and then he appeals to the country people later on in his career. I mean, he's got them covered. I mean, he starts doing polka. We know what his main plan is. Mm-hmm. Darius Rucker, 60 today. I didn't realize he was 60. I would have maybe said 56. But Darius Rucker is 60. Rapper of the day, Pusha T. Pusha T.
Is that a man or a woman?
No clue.
Okay.
Pusha T is 49 and a vampire.
Vampire.
That's what I said.
Are you afraid?
No.
Then ask me the most basic question. What do we eat?
Cold cereal, I believe. Mm-hmm. Robert Pattinson from the Twilight movies. Robert Pattinson is 40s, the new Batman.
Oh, that's right.
I believe he's still the Batman when they come out with the next one, whenever that is. But he's 40 now today for Robert Pattinson.
Mm-hmm. Gone but not forgotten today, Boxing Hall of Famer Jim the Brown Bomber, Joe Louis. Now, he has the heavyweight champion for the longest reign of any other boxer. I didn't realize that. From 1937 to 1949. He was the best, went 68-3, so it's a pretty good record, and but died, in a bad way, poverty, and got into some drugs, had some personal demons. But it was interesting, Frank Sinatra and Max Schmeling, one of the guys that he boxed and won championships from and lost, they were pallbearers and paid for his funeral when he died at only 66 years of age. Emmy Award-winning actor, by the way, if I didn't say it, 1914. Emmy Award-winning actress Bea Arthur, one of our favorites, 1922. Of course, she was Maud.
Oh, I never should have watched it either. It always upsets me, especially that shower scene. Well, it's the reason I prefer not to shower alone.
Sure, Blanche. And Goldilocks and the Three Bears is why you prefer not to sleep alone.
She always had some great comebacks. That's her as Dorothy on Golden Girls. The so Golden she was Maude, and then she was on Golden Girls.
Yes. Nice job. Again, Emmy Award winner, 1922. He drank the Kool-Aid and forced a lot of people to drink it. Jim Jones.
It wasn't Kool-Aid. It was the other brand, Flavor-Aid.
Oh, Flavor-Aid. Yeah, Flavor-Aid.
Flavor-Aid.
Yeah, bad stuff. Anyway, I know he's an idiot. Rockabilly singer, guitarist Richie Valens, 1941.
Oh, Donna, oh, Donna, oh,
remember, he had more hits, more songs than just La Bamba.
Sure. This was a great
one.
Real life girlfriend was
there. Yes. And he was young. I think he was only 17 when he died. Mm-hmm. On the day the music died in 1959. He was born 1941, Richie Valens. Motown singer, a great singer. And Mary Wells, 1943.
Nothing you can take can tear me away from my God. Nothing you can do, cause I'm stuck right glued to my God.
She's my guy.
Of course, when she sang it in French, she had to go, my Guy, Neil.
That's right.
Right.
Very well. Motown's finest, 1943. And one more, country singer Larry White, 1965.
That's my baby. That's my baby.
I mean, there are three hits. This one, Now I Know, and That's How You Know.
Right.
And don't forget, she was also in Castaway.
Was she?
Yeah, she was in the movie Castaway. She's the one in the kind of older truck.
That's
like
right.
An artist or something.
Yes.
She's using FedEx to send out her art pieces, and that's the one that What's-His-Name saved and actually then delivered to her. And then I think they went on a date somewhere after that. I think they hooked up.
They did, yeah. Lawrie White. How about that? 1965. We lost her way too young. Sadly, they're all gone, but not forgotten.
Cancer is the big C, yes. Yep. I can't believe your staff forgot the lead singer of La Bouche.
I can't.
La Bouche. Why? This was huge in the 90s. Neil, we need to think about the younger people. We can't just focus on Gunsmoke and your Ed Ames. La Bouche. Which translated means the bush. So that's Melanie Thornton, the lead singer of Les Bouches.
I gotta give my
be
staff a
my
pass
lover. No, they need to do better. Right. They just need to do better. Again, once you forget the Crusher, anybody else after
well,
that is
now that no. That did cost some people their
but
job.
Les Bouches is the Crusher of electronic music from the '90s. I mean, you knew that. Now they're all gone.
Give them an old Milwaukee; they'll be happy.
And a bolo, mm-hmm. bolo punch. Terry Clark, poor, pitiful me.
Okay.
Garth Brooks, Friends in Low Places.
Right.
Hank Williams Jr., Attitude Adjustment.
Because I'm going to see her sing at Lakes Jam, I'm going to have Terry Clark start us. WQPS.